We're beginning here on the top of Samach Ted Amud Aleph. The Gemara is continuing with the question that it left off yesterday, which is according to the Mandamar Rabbi Yochanan, who says, Ein leidale varim, there is no such thing as a birthing process for individual evarim. The Gemara then had posited two questions according to that Deya. Number one is, Hotziah urbaret yodo v'echzira v'chazar v'otzit yodo v'echzira. In an instance where he put out one arm, then the other arm, until the robe of the ubar had left the body. Mao, what do we say about this? That a robe of the animal had left. But once he took it back in, it's not considered as birth, and therefore the animal remains inside and is fine. The Gemara says, Imtim Salomar. Imtim Salomar, it seems that the Gemara moved. The Rambam in general paskins whenever the Gemara says Imtim Salomar. That means the Gemara concluded there, and the Rambam paskin that way. Once it took it back in, it retracted those limbs. They go back. There's a reset button, and there is no Leida here. The Gemara then left off with the question, which is what we left off with yesterday, which is, Hotziu baret yodo v'chatcha. Here, instead of the case where it placed its forearm out, and then you retracted it, and then placed the other one out, here he cut off each limb as it was extended. So he cuts it out, v'chazar v'otziu yodo v'chatcha, sheishlimu l'rubo. And then he got to a point where he had now severed a number of limbs or enough of that fetus inside, where the robe of the fetus is now found outside. Mao, what's the din? Mi amrinan hai nafik le ruba. Do we say now a robe of the animal has now exited this behema, and therefore there's a birth? Oh, dilma ruba bevat achat binan. Or maybe we need it to be a robe bevat achat in one shot. Meaning that the only time it's considered a leida, which is when the robe of the behema comes out in one shot, not when it comes out aver limb by limb. So tashma, this is what we left off with yesterday, but let's try to bring a proof from our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says zaklau. This is the principle that was established by our Mishnah. There are different types of items that are found inside of a behema, some of which will be nitara yedei shechita, by the shechita of the mother, some that will not be. The klal is davar shegufa asur. Anything that is a part and parcel of the mother or the mother behema's body, then if it's severed, it will not be nitara yedei shechita. Sheinu gufa, on the other hand, anything that's not a direct part of its body or her body, like for instance this fetus, even though it's cut up inside of her, mutar, the shechita of the mother will be matirit. She'en gufa letu yemai. She'en gufa, something that's not her body, what case are we coming to include? My love, what's the case here? Must be letu e ki hai gavna. A case like which we're speaking about over here, where the robe came out aver. Because if you want to suggest that it's just stam a robe came out of the behema, that's obvious. Obvious that if a robe is burned out of the behema, and we said it explicitly in the Mishnah, that the behema or the fetus is considered to be born. So the question is, what is this additional klal principle that's laid out at the end of the Mishnah? What does it add? So maybe it's adding a case like this, where it came out piecemeal, and once you hit the robe, it's considered a leida, even according to the one who says that birthing four limbs is not considered a birth. Where it says, lo, latuya kalot bimei para. Now it comes to a case where we have an animal, a fetus, inside of the mother. It's a kosher animal. But the fetus that is found inside does not have split hooves. Valibo de Rabbi Shimon, according to Rabbi Shimon. Davagav dama Rabbi Shimon, even though we have a machlok between Rabbi Shimon and Chachamim, ekalot, an animal that is born that does not have the simanei tara, does not have split hooves, but is born to a kosher animal. According to the Chachamim, that animal is kosher, and it's no problem, you can eat it. On the other hand, Rabbi Shimon believes you may not eat it. It doesn't have simanim, you can't eat that animal. So Gemara says, Avagav dama Rabbi Shimon kalot ben para asur. Even though Rabbi Shimon believes that such a fetus that is born cannot be eaten, that's only if it was born. Aval b'meimo, when it's still found inside of its mother, shari, that is mutar. And that's what the additional item in the Mishnah comes to teach us, she'ena b'gufa, something that's not exactly a part and parcel of the mother's body. For instance, a fetus, and a fetus, a special type of fetus, not just any fetus, a fetus that doesn't have the simanei tahara, doesn't have split hooves. Nevertheless, according to Rabbi Shimon, that will be tahor, that will be kasher. Even though if it was born, it would not be kasher. So if you shach the mother, that would be matir the fetus without the split hooves. Whereas if that fetus is born, Rabbi Shimon will say that you cannot eat such a behema. So, by Rabbi Chananya, Hotzi ubaret yado ba'azara. What happens if the mother was taken into the azara, it's a korban, you're going to do shechita on the mother, and the fetus extends its hand out, and then it retracts it. Mahu, what do we say here? Migo dahavi mechitza legabe kodoshim. Since it's a mechitza of a kodoshim, meaning the location where one can do shechita on kodshei kolim, is inside the azara. It has significance as a mechitza. Maybe that's enough to say that the fetus really never left the mother. It's still within one framework, and then it won't be under the restriction of asar basada trefa lo tochelu, because it didn't leave its mechitza. So therefore, havinami gabe hai. So to over here, this will be a mechitza. O dilma, the gabe hai lav mechitza hi. The mechitza dubar imohi. Or do we say over here that mechitza is not relevant to the fetus? The fetus's mechitza is the mother. If it exits the mother, there's a problem. If it doesn't exit the mother, there's no problem. Meaning, where is the boundary for this fetus? Is the boundary set by the mother? That's what we've assumed until now. What we're trying to suggest here, according to Rabbi Hananya, is that maybe the boundary should be expanded when it's an area that has a significant boundary, like the Azara itself. So Amar Abaye, Rabbi responded to Rabbi Hananya, "Pitibay loch kodshim kalim b'Yerushalayim. Why is your question just in the Azara? The Azara is significant as a mechitza, but so is Yerushalayim. Chumat Yerushalayim is also significant. Kodshim kalim b'Yerushalayim, my time alo. How come you didn't ask the question about Chumat Yerushalayim? I mean, Chumat Yerushalayim, you can eat all kodshim kalim. So why don't we say the same thing there? When the ubar extends its arm or forearm out, then that should not be considered as if it exited the mother, because it's still within a framework, a mechitza of Chumat Yerushalayim. How come you didn't ask the question there? The reason that you didn't do that is because you know it's clear that the mother is the framework for the baby, not Chumat Yerushalayim. So if that's the case outside of the Azara, so too inside the Azara, the same will be true, that the framework or the mechitza for this Ubar is its mother, not the Azara itself. Tosafot points out, the Rav Hananya, what was the question? Why did he ask the question in this way? So, Bazara Mishum Dechashiva Mechitza Yoter. It's a greater mechitza than Chumat Yerushalayim. Because in Chumat Yerushalayim, you can't do shchita for kodshim kalim. They can only be shechted inside the Azara. So it has a much more significance than Chumat Yerushalayim. That's why he posited his question about the Azara itself. By his answer is, it's no different than Chumat Yerushalayim. Mechitza is mechitza, and if the fetus is mechitza is the mother, it doesn't matter where you are and what other framework you were in, this still remains that the mechitza of the ubar is its mother, and if it extends out of its mother, then it cannot, the shechita of the mother will no longer be matir, this behema. Now, by Yofa, hotzi ubar et yodo, ben siman l'siman mahu. What happens if the fetus extends out its forearm between the shechita of the first siman and the second siman of its mother? Mi mitztaref siman rishon l'siman sheni, l'tare midei nevela. Does the second siman and the first siman join together in order to make it tahor from being a nevela, or lo, or maybe not? Now it's clear here that this forearm is not going to be mutar b'achila, because it didn't have two simanim that were shechted while it was inside the mother. So we know for certain that you cannot eat this forearm that was extended out of this fetus. The only question we have is that there are actually two things that matter when it comes to a fetus inside the mother. One is the ability to eat that fetus. The other one is that it should not be tamei tumat nevela, that the shechita of the mother also helps the uber inside to protect it from becoming tamei bitumat nevela. So if that's the case here, we have two different simanim shechted. One of them, the first siman, was shechted, and that siman was good enough both to be matir the fetus b'achila and protect it from becoming a nevela, because at that point the entire fetus was inside. Then the fetus extends its arm out after that shechita of that siman, and then retracts it. So at this point in time, that arm can no longer be mutar b'achila because it went out of the mother. Now when it retracts and it brings it back in, the shechita of the second siman can only do one thing. It cannot be matir in an achila. It can do the one thing, which is it can be matir it, or protect it from becoming tamei tumat nevela. So each of the simanim is functioning differently. Since they are functioning differently, can we bring them together? The common denominator between them is that they both took care of the issue of being matir mitumat nevela. True, the first one had an additional aspect to it, that it can also be matir b'achila. Nevertheless, do we take the common denominator between them and say that's good enough to take care of this fetus and its extended arm, that it should not be tamei tumat nevela, or not? So Amarava kavachomer. It's a kavachomer. Im ho yolo siman rishon li siman sheni, atiro b'achila. If the siman rishon was good enough not only to be matir mitumat nevela, but also good enough to allow it to be eaten, then lo yolo latar mitay nevela, then it's a subset of it. I mean, it batoch matay mana, that within 200, there's 100. Over here, for certain, if you can shecht it and it was good enough in shechita to allow it to be eaten, then it's certainly good enough to be matir mitay nevela. And therefore, I have a common denominator between the two simanim, which is that it's matir mitumat nevela in this instance. So by Rabbi Yirmiya, mahu lachush lizaro. What's the story here with regards to the children of this behema? Gemara wants to know, hey, dummy, what's the case here? What are we talking about along? If this is a case where this fetus that was born, that had extended its arm out prior to shechita of the mother, and therefore the arm is not nitar b'achila. Now it's out, it's walking around. The problem that we have at this point in time is that you can't shech that fetus that's outside, because even if you do shechita on it, it will be matir the entire behema. It will never take care of that arm. Why won't it take care of the arm? Because the rest of the behema is mutar already with the shechita of its mother. So it can be eaten without any shechita whatsoever. The arm itself was extended out and requires shechita. If you shech this baby that was born, it doesn't have a status of called shechita. It's not shechita because it doesn't need shechita. Say there's an ishkita, you don't have a process of shkita to be matir that arm. So that behema, you can never be matir that one arm that had extended out beforehand. So now it mates with a behema ma'alato. It gets together with and mates with another animal that's totally fine. So my irya hide itbe isur yotze. Wait a minute. Why do we worry about this one that has an isur yotze? Afilu ben bikua da'alma nami. Why don't we talk about a case of a ben bikua da'alma? A regular case of a ben bikua. Regular case ben bikua, which is that it exited from its mother after the shechita, and now it's walking around. Technically, this behema does not require any shechita. So now if it mates with another animal, what's the status of the ubra that's born from it? Damar of Mishar Shiladivri Omer Choshishim Lezera'av. According to one who says that we worry about the contribution of the father, ben bikua haba al behema malyoto, that a ben bikua that mates with a regular behema, havlad ain't no takana. The vlad has no takana now. Because you have two contributing factors. You have one behema that's contributing that does not require shechita. You have one behema that's contributing that does require shechita. The baby that's born from them is a mix of those two. And since it's a mix of the two, there is partial shechita, but no real shechita. Shechita from one side, not shechita from the other side. The animal that's out has no takana. So therefore, what's the difference over here? Same thing here. If you have an animal that just has one arm, right, that is asur. Forget about the rest of the behema, that is mutar. Here we have a case where the entire animal is mutar. Ben pikua, which was totally inside its mother, it presents a problem. Then certainly here, where we have the animal that was mostly inside of its mother and had an arm extended out, that certainly will present a problem for us. Mar says, Lo tzricho da azal aben pikua de kavate. It actually mated with an animal exactly like itself. So when it mated with an animal exactly like itself, now the question is, what is the outcome or the vlad that is born out of them? Now when we say exactly like itself, it means another animal that also had stuck its forearm out prior to the shechita of the mother. And so now you have two animals that don't require shechita because they were inside their mother, except for their forearms that do. I mean, the forearm that was extended by each of them was outside and does require shechita. So now, when the baby that's born to them, my, what's the din? Aver molid aver, that when we look at a contribution of the parents to the baby that is born, we say that whatever is true of the parents is true of the baby, and therefore, since they have both have the same problem, the parents, then the baby that's born also has the same problem. The entire behema will be mutar, except for that forearm that was problematic both for the mother and the father. So what you do is, v'chatichle, just cut off that forearm, v'shari, and the rest of the animal will be mutar. Odilma milbelbel zarei. Maybe when a product of a mating of a male and a female, that product is actually a mixture of all the different avarim, all the different contributions of the mother or father. So hada amar pshita de milbelbel zarei. Very simple here, and we know for certain that there is a mixing. Deim kain, because if it was not this way, suma yoleid. Suma bikita yoleid kita. Because if that was the case, a suma should always give birth to another suma. Or someone who's missing a limb should always give birth to someone who's missing a limb. And we know that's not the case when you have mating between two animals. So it's obvious that the contribution from the parents is not exactly mimic in the baby that's product of them. And therefore, pshita de mebalbel zarei, that it's mixed in. And if it's mixed in, now we have a problem. Because if you have two animals that got together that both have this problem of the arm that is asur, then when they mate and they produce another animal, that isur now is spread throughout the entirety of their product of their offspring. So the answer is, v'hachi kami bailon. This is our question. Behema ba'alma, lav mikoach chela v'dam ka'atyo, v'sharyo. Doesn't a normal animal that is born, normal animal is born is from a mating of a male and a female. Within the male and the female, you have parts of those animals that are asurim. The blood, the chela, the fats that are asurim. Nevertheless, the product of those two animals is still mutar and allowed to be shechted. So hachanami? So let us say the same thing, lo shna, it doesn't make a difference here. Even though these animals have some aspect of them that's asur, the product of those animals should be mutar. O Dilma, treyu surei amrinan, talati lo amrinan. Maybe we say that up to two isurim, chelev and dam, that's enough. But to add a third isur that also is conveyed down to the offspring, that we cannot dismiss, and therefore the offspring will also be asur. Uleman, now the Gemara questions is, how can you ever have a situation in which you have three isurim? And that is because there's a machlokas, we're going to see in a second, between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. And according to each one of them, you'll never have three isurim. Because either Rabbi Meir, if you're talking about Rabbi Meir, isur chelev and dam, ika, isur yotze, leka. According to Rabbi Meir, you do have, when you have the mating of the parents, you do have the isur of chelev and dam, but you don't have the isur of yotze. Whereas according to Rabbi Yehuda, either Rabbi Yehuda, Isur Yotzei Ika, you do have the Isur of Yotzei, but Isur Chelev Adam Leka, you don't have them. So you're never going to have anybody who says that you have all three of them together. And why is that? Titanya, we have a Breita Now, the Brayta here in our Gemara begins Gida Nasheh. Truthfully, it doesn't have, the Lashon Gida Nasheh does not belong in the Gemara, although it's implicit in the statement of this Brayta of this Tosefta. And that is that the Gida Nasheh is Noeg Bashalil. When it comes to a fetus that is found inside of a mother Beima that was Shechted, when you find it, the Gida Nasheh, you still have to remove it from this fetus that was Shechted while it was inside the mother. The mother was Shechted, the fetus is now Mutar. Do you have to remove the Gida Nasheh? The answer is yes. V'chelbo asur. And its chelev is asur, divrei Rabbi Meir. That's according to Rabbi Meir. According to Rabbi Meir, the fetus requires the removal of the Gida Nasheh and the chelev, just like any other animal, even though it's nitar, ayidei shechita of the mother. Rabbi Yehuda Meir, enoeg b'shalil, v'chelbo mutar. That there is no din of Gida Nasheh when regards to this fetus, and its chelev is mutar. So therefore, when it comes down to the machlok between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, one says that there is a problem of chelev dam in the fetus, and one says there is no din of chelev and dam in the fetus. Now, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it says there's no iser of chelev and dam in that fetus. He's the one who says that there's an iser yotzei, that there's a problem of the behema extending its arm before the shechita. Because he believes that whatever was inside the behema at the time, the mother, at the time that the fetus was born, even though it had extended its arm out, whatever remains inside does not require shechita. And therefore, the only problem of yotze is with that one arm, and that can't be fixed. So Rabbi Yehuda has a problem with a behema that has an arm that was extended before shechita. The rest of the animal is mutar. The chelev and the dam are mutar. There's nothing to talk about except this one arm. So there's one isur. On the other hand, Rabbi Meir believes that once the behema extended its arm outward, what's inside also still requires shechita. Whatever remains behind still requires shechita. And therefore, you can be matir the arm, ayyadei the shechita of that animal, but the chelev and dam are sur. So there's no isur yotzei, there is an isur of chelev and dam. So according to both of them, there's only two isurim here, according to chelev and dam, according to Rabbi Meir, and according to Rabbi Yehuda, only a problem of yotzei. So you never have all three of them together to say, what's the question? Two yes, three no? That question can never come up. The Gemara says, no, elam mikoach, lo amrinan. When it comes from the something beforehand, when it comes from an isur that produces something afterwards, that we don't worry about. Dishari, that's always mutar. This is the question that we're presenting. Now we're going all the way back. This whole question that started from Bayi Rabbi Yirmiyah, this is the question that he meant. The zaro means not just the offspring, but something that is generated, a derivative of the animal. And this is what it means. To drink the milk of such a female that is born. When it comes to milk in general, we don't say that it's a limb that's separated away from a live animal and you can't drink milk. You can drink milk of a kosher animal without any problem. But maybe that is only true because that animal can be nitar yedei shechita. But when it comes to this animal that's born that had one arm that was out already, and now the remainder of the animal came out, doesn't require shechita, that arm you can never be matir, you can never do shechita for that arm because the remaining of the animal doesn't require shechita, what's the status of its milk? Do we say, when over here, hainami, loshna, over here too you can drink the milk of such a behema, since over there the Eiver Ben Achai can be rectified through Shechita, that's why you can drink its milk. Over here, this fetus that was born and never can be Nitkan Ayidei Shechita, because whatever the most of the behemoth is already Mutar without Shechita. The remaining arm that was out can never be Nitar Ayidei Shechita, because the Shechita of that animal is meaningless, because it doesn't require Shechita. So over there, maybe, since there's Letle Takanta Li Surei B'Shechita, maybe you can't drink the milk. The Gemara leaves that as a teiko, an unresolved issue as to what the status of the milk is of the fetus born in such a manner. Now, the Gemara goes back and discusses the Mishnah. Otech mi'ubar. He cuts up the fetus inside of the mother behema. Minolan, how do we know that that's true, that when it's cut up inside, that it's still nitar yedei the shechita of the mother? Dichtiv, v'chol behema mafreset parsa, behema, ba behema. So the pasuk that's found in Parshat Re'eh mentions the word behema twice. And therefore the Chazal are Doresh on this Pasuk that twice the word Behema is mentioned means Behema ba Behema. One time it means for the Behema itself, and one time it means for a Behema that is found inside of another Behema. Chol Behema mefreset parsa, v'shosat shesa shtei prasot, malat gerea ba Behema, oto tochelu. So what does that ba Behema, the second one, mean? So it says, take the first Behema, juxtapose it to the second one, ba Behema, and say this, Behema ba Behema, an animal that's found inside of another animal. The Ravota Tavlat, to say any fetus that's found outside of the mother is nitar the shechita of the mother. Elimiato, Yamirubo, if it's considered to be a full-fledged behema, the drush that you bring from the pasuk is that there's a word behema, another word ba behema. That means that you consider the status of a fetus inside the mother to be a behema, a full-fledged animal. If that's the case, why can't we do hamara? Why can't we do an exchange with that animal? Hamara is when one decides that they have an animal that's kodesh, and they want to move that kedusha onto another animal. They say, for instance, I have this cow that is kadosh b'kedushat shlamim, and I say, you know what? I don't want this one to be a shlamim. I'm going to move it over, and I want this other guy to be a shlamim. The Torah says, hu tmurato ya kodesh. Both the original and the new one now are kodosh. But that only works when you're dealing with full-fledged animals. But on the other hand, if you say, alama tanan, we have a Mishnah, ein memirim, lo evarim be'ubarim, ve'lo ubarim be'ubarim. One cannot do such an exchange between limbs and a fetus, or a fetus and limbs. Ve'lo evarim ve'ubarim bishlimim. And not limbs and fetuses with regular animals. Ve'lo shlimim behem. And not regular animals with them. Meaning that hamara, this memir, does not work at all when it comes to a fetus that's found inside. And that's because it's not called a behema. It's not called a behema, so that's why this exchange doesn't work. El amar kra. So we're getting another pasuk, or the source for this. It says, v'chol behema. So the chol behema, which begins that pasuk, is a ribuy. V'chol behema, they're both at avlad. Where it says, yochi, afilu chotech minat chol minat klayot. Chol behema means anything inside the behema. So why is it only a vlad? Why don't we also say that we're talking about the spleen and the kidneys that were cut off before the shechita? They're still inside the behema. If you shechted, they should be mutar as well. So Talmud Tanan, our Mishnah says, chotech minat ubar shebehema mutar b'achila. Minat chol minat klayot. If you cut off from one of its limbs and one of its organs, then that is not asur b'achila. So Amar Kra Uta. The pasuk says not just b'chol beima, but first parasav shrat sesh shtei parasov malad gira by beima uta tochelu. That uta means shleima v'lo chasira. As long as the animal's intact, then you can eat it. But if it's missing, then you cannot eat it. Missing meaning not that it's missing something, and then you can't eat the whole animal, but whatever's missing from the animal will not be nitara yedei shchita. So here where you sliced off a piece of the spleen or a piece of the kidneys, which do not make it into a trefa, those pieces that are sliced off that are still inside the animal, they will not be nitara yedei shchita. So if you shecht an animal and inside of it you find something that looks like a yona, like a dove, tishtari, that should be mutar. Because anything found inside the animal, as long as it's not part of the animal still remains shlema. It's not an integral part of the animal, that would be nitar yedei d'shchita of the mother. So alama, that is not the case, because Amar Rabbi Yochanan, shocheta d'beima, umatza ba d'mut yonah, asur ba'achila. Person shucks the animal, finds a dove inside of that animal, that dove is not nitar yedei d'shchita of the mother. Tosafot points out here, Rabbi Yochanan picked a yonah specifically. He says, nira dafka naka d'mut yonah, shu asur, gam shi yetzei l'avir olam. That's something that if it was born out of this animal, it would be asur legamrei, the fish animal mitkayem. Because such an animal won't live. It's born, a bird born to an animal doesn't live. So if it looks like a yonah, it's not going to exist, it's not going to survive. But if you have other types of problems with the fetus inside, that will not be poselet by the shkita of the mother. So it's, you know, Rabbi Yochanan speaking specifically about a yonah, and not a general statement about anything that comes out that doesn't look exactly like the mother. But what you see from here is that Rabbi Yochanan says that not everything inside the animal becomes mutar. So where it says, be'inam prasot, that's because we need it to have hooves. Velekan, it doesn't have that, because the pasuk that we read was a pasuk that requires mafrisei parsa and shosad shesa shtei prasot. So it requires that the chol beima that's in there also has prasot, also has hoops. Elimiato, if that's the case, kalut bime para litzar. That's the case, that it doesn't have split hooves, that mitzvah makes it asur. Then let's say a case where we have cow, which has split hooves, gives birth to an animal that does not have split hooves, either look like the camel or like the horse and don't have split hooves. So let's say it's asur. Ha'atana debay Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. Rabbi Shmuel, debay Rabbi Shmuel hold like Rabbi Shimon. And Rabbi Shimon, we know, says it's asur once it exits the animal that a kalut is asur. But even Rabbi Shimon agrees when it's inside of the animal, it's mutar. So over here, why not? He says, parsa bebeima tochelu, that inside of the animal, you can eat it. So when it's inside, you can eat it. If it's inside, even Rabbi Shimon, who is osir once it's born, over there says it's mutar when it's in the inside. So how could you suggest over here that it's the need for split hooves is what's making it asur here? So now we go back. From Simi Barashi Amar, the Olam Keda Amar Tmi Kara. Going back to the original limu, which is Behema Ba Behema. An animal that's found inside of another animal. The Kakashlach Ememirin. Well, you say, well, if that's the case, we call a fetus a Behema. Then why can't you do tmura with such a fetus if it's called a Behema? Hamani Rabbi Shimoni. This is Rabbi Shimon, the Mekish Tumah the Maaser. He is Mekish between tmura and Maaser. Maser itself has a separate parsha of Tmura. There's a parsha by all Kodoshim, which says you're not allowed to exchange them. And then by Maser itself, the Torah repeats again another parsha of Tmura that you're not allowed to exchange the Maser. Ma Maser in Enohug Bevarim Vubarim. Just like Maser has no application, Maser Beima does not apply to limbs or to fetuses. How do we know that? Because it says Kol Asher Yavor Tachar HaShevet. Anything that can walk under the staff. Well, fetuses and limbs don't walk under the staff. Therefore, they cannot become kadosh b'kedushat maser. So therefore, just like maser v'ema doesn't apply to those items, af t'murayin onuhege b'varim uberim doesn't apply to varim uberim, even if they are called behema. Even if the fetus is called a behema, nevertheless, t'mura is not shayach to it because of this hekesh between maser behema and t'mura. Umna temra, how can I prove to you that that's the case? That Mishnah of Ememirin is really authored by Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Shimon is consistent in his position. The Tanan, we have a Mishnah. Amar Rabbi Yossi, alo b'mukdashim. When it comes to anything that's kodesh, omer ragla shalzu ola kula ola. If you're makdish an animal, just its leg, not the whole animal, then the entire animal becomes an ola. Av kish yomar regal ze shalzu takadzu. Just like that, if you do hamara, you do an exchange of this leg will be in place of that leg, Teikula tmura, the entire animal should become a tmura takda. Leman kamahadarle. That piece of the Mishnah, who is it responding to? Ilema the Rabbi Meir vi Rabbi Yehuda. If it's responding to Rabbi Meir Yehuda, meet Leo Haisvara. They don't have that position. Vatanya, we have a brayta. Yochol omer ragla shalzu ola teikula ola. If someone is makdish a single arm of an ola, of an animal, that the entire thing should become an ola, you would think that's true. Tamalomar kol asher yiten mimenu lashem, iye kodesh. Mimenu kodesh, velo kulo kodesh. Portion of it will be kodesh, not all of it. Yochol teitzei l'chulin. I would think then that's meaningless what you said. Tamalomar iye, babiato tehe, that it remains kadosh. So haketza, what do you do with this animal where you makdish the leg and not anything else of the animal? Timacher letzarchei olot, you sell this animal to be used as an ola. Vidameh chulin, the remainder of the monies are chulin, chutz midmei aver shabbat. That one aver remains kadosh for olot, but everything else, the monies for the rest of the animal, that will be chulin. Divri Rabbi Meir Rabbi Yehuda. So you see, Rabbi Meir Rabbi Yehuda do not have that position that a single limb it can make something into the entire thing being kodesh. Well, if they don't have that position, they cannot be the authors of that position in Tmura. Because the Mishnah in Tmura responds to whoever is the Tanakhama there and says, wait, just like by an Ola, if you makdish a single arm, it makes the whole thing kadosh. So too over here, when you exchange one limb for the other, it should make the whole thing kadosh. Well, that depends on you having that position that a single limb makes the entire thing kadosh. Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda don't have that position. Who does that have that position? Well, that's the position of Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yossi. For Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon omrei minayin lomer raglasho zu ola teikula ola. Well, how do you know that if you make a portion of an ola, or an animal, into an ola, kadosh ba'ola, that it takes the whole thing and becomes the whole thing becomes kadosh? Amalomer iyeh, the rabotet kulon. That the whole thing exists and it spreads to the iron animal. Laman. So now, according to either Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, mitlehu aitzvara. Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda can't be the authors of the Tanakhama of that Mishnah because whoever is speaking to them is bringing up a logic that they don't subscribe to. Elalav. Who is that position? It's Rabbi Shimon. Because it's Rabbi Yossi who's speaking and he's speaking to whoever the Tanakhama is. So if Rabbi Yossi is speaking to the Tanakhama, the only other person with that position is Rabbi Shimon. So I can show to you that Rabbi Shimon is the author of that position in Tmura. Rabbi Shimon is the author of a position that says that you cannot make Tmura out of limbs and out of ubarim, out of fetuses. So if Rabbi Shimon is the author, we know he has that position of Maser and Tmura, that Hekesh. And since he has that Hekesh, that'll explain why you can't be or can't do Tmura with Evarim and Ubarim. Because that's Rabbi Shimon, the Shitato. And it's not because it's not called a Behema. It is called a Behema. The problem is this Hekesh to Maser, and Rabbi Shimon will be the author of that Mishnah. So we prove that Rabbi Shimon is the author of the Mishnah, because he's the only one that has this position that a single limb can spread to the whole animal that Rabbi Yossi could be speaking to. He can't be speaking to Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. They don't have that position. He's not speaking to himself. He must be speaking to Rabbi Shimon, who is the other, his partner in that position. The Gemara answer ends up and says, no. Well, Rabbi Yossi, time at the Nafshei Kamar. Now, maybe the Tanakhama of that Mishnah and Tmura is really Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yossi is addressing them with a position that they don't hold of. Gemara says, Rabbi Yossi is saying, L'shitati, according to my Shita, and you should hold of that Shita, that if a single lamb spreads to the iron animal, then Tmura should have that same din. Not that he's speaking to them, L'shitatam, he's speaking in his own Shita to them. So maybe the authors of that Mishnah are Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, even though they don't subscribe to what Rabbi Yossi is suggesting. Again, it's a stretch, but it's a way to get out of us proving that Rabbi Shimon is the author of that Mishnah. Nevertheless, what we come out to in the end is that anything that's found inside of a behema is nitara yedei shechita. That's either because of behema ba behema, or because of kol that is found inside of a behema. We had the question from Tmura, why doesn't it work that you have Tmura? There we gave one answer, one possibility is that it uses kol behema, and therefore it doesn't call it a behema. It's a fetus included from the word kol. So that's why we don't have a problem by tmura. The other possibility is Beima Bebeima, that Reb Simi Barashi says, that's the Shita of Rabbi Shimon, who says there's a heckage between Maser Beima and Tmura, that says that there is no Tmura when it comes to Evarim and Ubarim, because of that heckage to Maser Beima. Even if it's called a Beima, there is no such heckage. So one of those two limudim will teach us that anything found inside the mother when you shecht it, that is matter, anything that is found inside the mother. Anything that is a part and parcel of the mother that is found inside of it will not be nitar, either because ota, that there's a ribuy of ota that says it has to be shalem or shlema, or the other possibility is that we have kol beima only includes the vlad, only includes the fetus, not other parts of the mother. Okay, we'll stop with that and we'll continue with this Mishnah tomorrow.